Very good. So, having done the chanting, which is the mood music in this group, now we learn how to do a little bit of meditation, which is just the simplest thing in the world. All you need to do is to sit down and do nothing. Is that easy? It's not, because people are always doing something. Even if they close their eyes, they're traveling all over the world in their mind. They're planning all sorts of things which they don't need to do. And my saying is, I never plan the future. You know why? Because I found this out by experience. If I plan for the future, things go wrong. You have to plan for the future, otherwise it goes wrong. And it's true, if I don't plan for the future, it goes wrong. But if I do plan for the future, it goes wrong anyway. Either way, it goes wrong. So I decide to enjoy myself before it goes wrong and don't plan so much. And you'll find it goes wrong less if you don't plan for the future, because you're peaceful and calm right now. Your best way you can prepare for your future is looking after the present moment. But many people go off into the future. They don't go off into the future, they go off into the past. They're trying to change things which cannot be changed. It's finished, it's done. No matter what you think, it cannot be undone now. The only thing you can do about the past is to let it go, to let it disappear. So you are free from all the things which happened to you. And that's a nice thing in meditation. We let go of the past, we let go of the future. So instead of doing stuff, we're just relaxing and resting. We're just being here instead of going places. So, the simile, for those of you who haven't seen this before, there's a few new people here. The simile of meditation, how to be still, is such an easy simile. I just pick up my glass of water. And I'm now going to hold this glass of water perfectly still. Has it stopped moving yet, Doug? Has it stopped moving yet?
No.
So what should I do? I should concentrate. I'm going to really put attention on this now. I'm really trying. The more I try,
the more it moves.
Exactly, yes. So don't try to meditate, otherwise it gets worse. There's such an easy way to meditate, to come to perfect stillness. And what do? Put it down. Let it go. Leave it alone. And you find, without any effort whatsoever, the easiest thing in the world, after a few seconds. What's that water like now? You're an honest lady, aren't you? Is she honest, Rachel?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to tell people, is that perfectly still?
Perfectly still.
Yeah, so easy to do when you know just how to let your mind be, rather than trying to make it like this or force it to be like that. So in meditation, you're just coming home into this moment, leaving all your problems and concerns aside. It's called letting things be. And in order to let things be, we have this beautiful ideal of kindness. And how can you be kind? How you be kind is a little story from my very first book, which is now available in the airport bookshops. Yay! After about 10 years, they've finally got it in the bookshops. Anyway, it's called Opening the Door of Your Heart. It's a story my father told me when I was only about 30. He took me aside one day and he told me, he said, "Son, whatever you do in your life, wherever you go, however you turn out, you must always remember one thing, and that is the door of my house will always be open to you. I never shut the door in your face, no matter how you turn out. You're my son, you're welcome in, and that's all." It took me many years to realize he didn't mean his house, because we were living in a small council flat, which was the lowest form of accommodation you could have. The next stage down was under the tree or in the park. That's really poor accommodation. And to tell you how poor we were, my father never bothered to lock the door of the apartments. He wasn't afraid of burglars. He told me he hoped they would sometimes come in, take pity on us and leave something. So we were poor. So, he didn't mean his house. What he meant was his heart. He said, what he meant, it took me years to understand this, he meant the door of my heart's open to you. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter where you go. I'm your father, you're my son, that's it. I'll always love you, care for you. That meant so much as the unconditional part of love. And that's also part of meditation practice as well. Whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever's happening in this very moment, open the door of your heart to it. Allow it in. This moment will never come again. This moment is very precious. You don't know what it has to teach you, what you have to learn from. So embrace it, let it in. And if you can embrace this moment, just let this moment be, you will find that you become very peaceful, very still, very quickly. It's just adding a bit of kindness to the practice of mindfulness. And you've heard about mindfulness before. You've been teaching this the last 3 months. Rachel, yes, she's nodding her head. And it was Ajahn Brahm who added the kindness to mindfulness. And it became Kindfulness, which is the title of my latest book, Kindfulness. That'll be coming in the airport soon, after they sold out this one. Kindfulness meditation. So don't just be mindful, be kindful. And what kindfulness is whatever you're aware of, just be kind to it, smile at it. And then you find you can settle down much more. You know, people are just so aggressive and so forceful. They're never kind to their own mind. They're not kind to their body. So when you start meditating, you close your eyes. Please be kind to your body. Now, how this works is as follows. You close your eyes. What are you aware of when you close your eyes? It's usually your body. There's an ache here, there's a pain there, there's an itch somewhere else. There's always an ache or a pain somewhere. The older you are, the more achy and painful it gets. That's why I'm not into eating health food anymore. I never was, actually, but even more so these days, because the more health food you have, the only thing it achieves is 2 extra years in the old people's home. What are you doing that for? And flatulence as well, yeah, very good. That is why anyone who has flatulence in the Armadale Meditation Group, please make sure you sit in the back so no one else can suffer the results of your flatulence. So remember, anyone in the front, if you've got flatulence, go back. Now you know why the people in the back sitting in the back. So no one has to ensure. I know why you sit in the back. So, anyway, we'll go, that's right, you're being kind to your body. So being, when I say letting go, that's not what I mean, letting go, being kind. yeah, very good. When we are kind to our body, we can relax it. So when you close your eyes, a lot of times you're aware of aches and pains in the body, how it's sitting, whatever. The first stage of meditation, be aware of your body, aches and pains and feelings, whatever it is. Open the door of your heart to those aches and pains. And then add kindness. Because you find it's amazing when you add kindness, you know, compassion, love, softness to an ache and pain in the body. It actually gets less. You're actually relaxing the body. And the body feels so much better. You don't believe me, do you remember the times when you were really sick or hurting and some kind person, maybe your mother or father or great friend, they just stroked your hair. Said, it's all right. Mummy is here. And that's that kindness, that softness, that love took all the pain away, at least a lot of the pain away. Never underestimate the power of kindness to actually relieve aches and pains and relax the body. And so when that ache and pain comes in the body, be aware of it, be kind to it, and you can actually feel it relaxing. The job of mindfulness, you feel the body. Whether it's tense, whether it's loose, whether it's painful or whether it's relaxed. Mindfulness can show you what's going on. The kindness is what moves that feeling in the body to more relaxation, more at ease. And if you understand that, you understand the essence of meditation. And mindfulness gives you an understanding of the state of affairs, and it's the kindness which softens the body and will later soften the mind. You can really, really, really relax. So once you actually feel this, it's so easy. You get an ache in the body, a pain, or even a sickness, because some of you guys are here for sicknesses. You've got cancers, you've got heart disease, you've got leg disease, you've got ear disease, every part has a disease somewhere or other. So wherever your disease is, just focus on it and use kindness to relax it, relax it, relax it. Now I've had a lot of success. This always goes over to the Cancer Support Association. I've got an email again today for the next time I go over to teach there and they come to learn at our monastery, dealing with cancers in the body. A great success with breast cancers. Feel there's something there. You feel it. Be aware of it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't go somewhere else. And let's be kind to it. And you can feel the whole area just relaxing and opening up. And you feel like it feels much better. In Eastern medicine, you're allowing qi or the winds to actually to come into that part of the body and heal it. Because you're opening it up, you're relaxing, you can feel it gets much better. You're aware and you're kind. Not just aware, but kind as well. And you feel things relaxing. So you do that with your body when you're meditating. You learn how to be very aware of your body, the more times you do this. And you learn how to relax the body. Relaxes parts of the body, and you get very, very, very soft and very, very relaxed. Now, honestly, it's like going to a spa, but you don't have to pay for it. You do it yourself in your bedroom, and you feel more relaxed. You pay all these hundreds of dollars these days, you know, to go and have a massage or a hot bath. You feel it, you're relaxed. So that's relaxing the body. And number two, any emotional problem you have, you always can actually feel it in the body. Whether it's fear, you can actually feel a tightness in the chest maybe. It can be sort of anxiety, it can be anger. You feel it in the body. And if you want to deal with those emotional problems in life, don't worry about the emotion itself in the mind. Go to the body, feel it in the body, relax it in the body, and then the emotion goes as well. So if you're sad, what does sadness feel like? Not in your head, but in your body. Where do you feel it? What's it like? Be aware of the sadness. And then relax it. Be kind to it. Open it all up. You find even the sadness just vanishes from your body as your body relaxes. Every emotion has a counterpart in the body. And the kindfulness onto that body part, the emotion goes as well. So when you're relaxing the body in the first part of meditation, you're also doing a lot to overcome some of the emotional problems you've had in the last week or the last year, or you know, you're going to physically have in the future. It actually tends to disappear from your body. And you know, a lot of times, the last place I went to, Rachel, when I was the 3 month retreat, I was still working, still doing stuff, and I like telling people that I was invited to Korea. I went to Korea, not North Korea. If I went to North Korea, I wouldn't be back yet. So I went to Seoul to deliver the keynote address at the 2015 World Computer Congress. Exactly, yeah. Good one, yeah, it's a nice one. Nice kick. 1,200 people from Samsung, Google, LG, teaching them all about computing, which I know nothing about. So you go to places like that, and there's actually one of the ministers from New South Wales was there, and he was saying he couldn't sleep. He said he's got insomniac. And so many people have problems with insomnia. So I was teaching people, including him, how to go to sleep. Should be pretty easy in Parliament because it's a so boring place. But how to actually to sleep? A lot of times you don't go to sleep at night because you've got aches and pains in the body. You're not relaxed enough. So if you just do a bit of mindfulness meditation with kindness on your own body, your body just relaxes so much. Any problems in your life, you can feel it in your body, it's like tension, a tightness somewhere, locked in your body. Be aware of that tightness, tension, relax it, relax it, relax it, until the whole tightness disappears and you go fast asleep. I don't know why it is with me, but I always feel tightness and tension in my legs. So that, you know, if I've had a very busy day, and I just focus on that, relax it, relax it, relax it, and before I know it, I wake up in the morning. So that's a great way of healing insomnia as well, just by being aware of the body and being kind to it. And then, once your body is relaxed, we do the same thing to our mind. You know, your poor emotional world, and so your inner world, sometimes it's got so much tightness and tension in there, fears, so many wounds and hurts and disappointments and whatever's in your mind, mental world. They're just like aches and pains in the body, but they're actually in your mind. And how do you overcome the aches and the pains in the body? You just focus on them, be kind to them, and they relax them away. That's why I was saying, to be able to let go of the past and future, you have to be kind to the past first, and be kind to the future. And being kind to the past means, be kind to yourself if you did something wrong. We all make mistakes from time to time, some more than others, but we're all guilty of making terrible mistakes from time to time. As for me, I tend to tell terrible jokes. How many of you heard the one last Friday night? Okay, quick one, terrible joke, so I can say I make mistakes too. What did the pirate say on his 80th birthday? A pirate on his 80th birthday. He said, "I'm matey." Thank you very much. It's tradition, okay. So anyway, so I make mistakes as well. But I forgive me, I don't worry about the terrible, terrible jokes which I make. I know everyone says that's a terrible joke, but you remember it and you go and inflict it on all your workmates the following day. So anyway, so you let go of be kind to the past. Whatever happened, you're compassionate to it, you allow it to be, and then it's not a problem anymore, it can just disappear. Same with your future, being kind to the future. What's going to happen to you in the future? Give it the best possible benefit of the doubt. Doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, it may be another thing which happens, an even better thing which happens. You know what's round the corner. You may lose your job tomorrow, but find you win the lottery. Yay! It does happen, you know. Who knows what is around the corner? So when you're compassionate to the future, you always have this beautiful, kind, wonderful, positive attitude to the future. And you know something which all psychologists know, and I know, if you have that positive attitude to the future, more wonderful things happen. If you have negative, it's going to be bad tomorrow. It's going to rain tomorrow. It's going to be terrible tomorrow. Then it does become terrible tomorrow. We had our big ceremony ending the Rage Retreat over at our Jhana Grove Meditation Retreat Center last Sunday. We had a couple of thousand people there. Lots and lots of people. How many people were there? There we go. Very good. And did you not look at the weather forecast beforehand?
No.
Rain. But did it rain?
No.
Because it's beautiful. If I was negative, so it's going to rain tomorrow, it's going to be terrible tomorrow, then it would have rained. But if you have this positive attitude, actually you'd be good weather. So we had a wonderful day. And that's so true. I found that so often. People think, it's going to go wrong, it's not going to work, it's terrible. You make it not work with that attitude, so being kind to the future. He's looking at the future. It might work. Who knows? So that is the way when we put kindness to the future, then the mind settles down and becomes very peaceful. And you enjoy this moment. That is how to do nothing. Just being aware, being kind, relaxing, relaxing, relaxing. That's why, you know, some people, you know, whenever I go overseas to work. It's all business. I never go on holiday. Some people go on holiday to all these expensive resorts, What do? They go to all those places for to just to relax, just to let go. You know what they do when they get there? Somebody showed me a brochure for Club Med. You get up in the morning, have a big breakfast on the beach, and then you have volleyball, then tennis, and then games, and then lunch, and afternoons paragliding or surfing, and in the evening a big party. You wear yourself out. You don't get any rest at all. It's a waste of time. So it's much better coming, if you want to go to Club Med, which Club Med should you go to?
This one.
Yes, Club Med Armadale. Club Meditation. Armadale. That's what Club Med means. Club Meditation. Armadale. And you just come. Well done. And it's for free. So when people say, where did you spend Tuesday night? I said, I went to Club Med. Wow. You must be rich. You say, no, I'm smart. I know where Club Med is. And you relax more. You're just being. Just getting your body relaxed and at ease, getting away from it all. People say that way, don't get away from it all, get away from all the work, get away from all the homework at school, getting away from all the teachers. People used to say that school would be a very nice place if it wasn't for the teachers. She's nodding, yes. So, this is a wonderful time you can just relax and get away from it all just by coming to the present moment. That's meditation. I always talk too long. So, that's because I've got a mouth. I haven't talked for 3 months to you guys, so I've got a lot to say. So now we'll do some meditation. Any questions? No, good. Let's get started. Okay, I've got my sheet up there. Very good. Half an hour meditation, and then we have questions and answers and other stuff.
Okay. Your lights on,
the
lights off. Thank you. Well, I can't see that clock anyway. Okay.
We've been leaving them on during rain.
You're leaving them on?
We have been.
That's pretty radical.
That's sophisticated if we can meditate
on the lights. Okay. Whatever. Who wants the lights on? Who wants the lights off? Okay. Okay, on. Put your hand up. Democracy. Pepperside, that's what we do in the podcast. Who wants them off?
No, yay!
Off. Yay, okay. Yay! The Pepperside. But the government then will not follow the Pepperside anyway. So. Lights off, please. That's much better. Okay, still see the clock, yes. Okay, good. Okay, that's enough. Yes. Shame wasn't a couple of days ago, so I could have told some ghost stories. Maybe I'll do a couple of ghost stories afterwards. The kids here, do you want to hear a ghost story later on?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Halloween on Saturday night. Mm. In the morning. No, I'll get to that afterwards. So now, close your eyes. Come home into this moment. Into this moment. Bring your awareness to your body. How's your body right now? Do you need to fidget your bottom? If you want to, you can. Fidget it back and forth. At our monastery, when people come to the hall, they're always fidgeting. And that's why, if you ever noticed, in Buddhist monastery halls, the wooden floors are always highly polished. That's because of all your fat bottoms fidgeting when you're meditating. And over the centuries, those floors are really polished, aren't they? So do you need to adjust your legs, your hands? How's your back? Stretch it or lean back. Find out the most comfortable position for yourself. Do you need to scratch anything? It's nice now we've got the lights off, eyes closed, so you can put your finger anywhere, no one's watching. You don't have to be afraid or embarrassed.
you're aware of your body, be kind to it. If there's any part of your body which is tight or painful, focus on it. That's being mindful. And see how that pain, that tension, changes from second to second. That gives you feedback. And when you are kind to that sensation, real kindness, you'll find that the pain, the tension, decreases. You're using kindfulness to relax your body, part by part. Can you feel the painful parts of your body relaxing? If not, stay there. Imagine those parts expanding, loosening, tensions being released, tightness being loosened. This is all kindness, as if you've got an invisible hand just stroking that part of the body which is aching or in pain. You may notice that that ache or pain in your body is actually connected to an emotional problem. A tightness and tension in the mind creates a tightness or tension in the body. So if you relax it in the body, you find it eases in the mind. We're trying to get to that state where you've been have a massage, or just had a hot bath, or just lazing on a Sunday afternoon doing nothing, relaxing your body to the max. Or like you first wake up in the morning, you don't have to go to work, just laying in bed, cozy, relaxed at ease. That's what we're trying to aim for. Relaxation of the body, first of all. When you are mindful, you do get this feedback. From your own experience, you learn what I mean by relaxation of the body. It's not that hard to do. Your body relaxing more and more. sinking into deep cotton cushions. Nothing was being held tight. Your body gets looser and looser. Your mindfulness on the body, relaxing with kindness. Does feel relaxed. There's a certain pleasure of relaxation, a softness, an ease, which is quite delightful. See if you can notice the delight in a relaxed body, and you find you relax even more. It's the coziness, the tingling. Nothing tight. Everything loose and free. Because you're being kind to your own body. And now we do the same thing to our mental world. All that stuff which you worry about, all that stuff which we tend to carry around from the past. Be kind to all of that. Whatever comes up into your mind, a memory of the past, a fear for the future, just give this beautiful kindness as if you're embracing it, hugging it, saying welcome. And you find it softens. And you can let it go. But be kind to it first. So what are you experiencing right now? What is this moment like? Please, that's mindfulness. Now add the kindness. And you relax your mind so it's not tight and tense and ache and pain anymore. Soon become very aware of how relaxed you are, or how tense you are, and how you can move tension more and more towards emotional relaxation. You're being kind, you're letting things be, not fighting anymore. Too much of life is fighting battles which we'll never be able to win. Now you're letting them go and relaxing. You deserve these moments of peace. You deserve to be free. When you're kind to the past, when you're soft on the future, you find it fades away till all you're left with is this wonderful place we call now. You're just here. And in this moment, please relax here. This moment is where your future is being made, in this very moment. You can relax here, being peaceful, being kind. You're doing the very, very best for your future health and well-being. And this moment will later become your past. So you're also creating a very beautiful past by making this moment beautiful. Relax to the max. Don't control this moment. Don't ever think you own this moment. You're just visiting this present moment. Imagine you're a visitor to now. It will soon be gone. know how peaceful you are. See if you can generate more peace by letting go more and more and more. Aware of what you're experiencing and being so, so kind, so gentle. See if you can listen to the silence in this room. When my words finish, there is a gap, a space of silence between my words. Listen to that silence. Let it stay with you. No need for words or comments. Noticing the space between the sounds. Time relaxing, putting things down, not holding them, letting them go. After a while, many people become aware of their breathing. Just know the breath as it comes in. In this moment, you're aware of the breath as it goes out of your body. And as you breathe in, not forced but naturally, imagine you're breathing in peace. Whatever that word means for you, you're breathing in peace. And as you exhale, you breathe out, let go. Imagining breathing in peace. As you breathe out all pain and difficulties and problems, breathe them out with the out-breath and breathe in peace. Breathing in peace, breathing out, let go. And imagine that peace getting stronger and stronger every in-breath. Every outbreath, you free yourself from sicknesses, difficulties, you breathe them out from your body and mind. You just breathe in peace to replace them. Breathing in peace. Breathing out, let go. You can actually feel the peace grow inside of you. Feel it solidify and grow more intense as you breathe in peace every in-breath. And you breathe out whatever blocks peace and hurts it, you breathe that out. Out of your body, out of your mind, it does not belong with you. Breathe it out. You may have a cancer, breathe in health. Breathe out the tumors. You your body and mind become still, relaxed all by themselves. Imagine you're been driving a car, your body and mind. Now you take your hands off the steering wheel, feet off the pedals. Stop controlling, let go. Just breathing in peace. Breathing out, let go. How do you feel right now? We're coming close to the end of the meditation now. How relaxed is your body? And how peaceful is your mind? This gives you a taste of what meditation is like. When developed, you can relax so deeply. Find so much peace, no matter what's happening in your life. Past and future may be busy and troublesome, but right here, right now, there's always a place where you can rest, be kind, and find some peace. Now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. Please listen to every sound from the gong. And only when the 3rd ringing from the gong starts to vanish, only then open your eyes. And as you do open your eyes, please smile as well as you open the eyes. You said we had some questions.
Yeah, we kept some from Rains that we.
Oh, didn't. Really? Okay, what's the first question?
David's got them.
Okay. What is getting them? I said I was going to tell a Halloween joke. One of my friends, he bought a townhouse in London, in a very old part of London, 3 stories. And the real estate agent told him that it was very hard to sell, so he got it very cheap because it was haunted. But my friend, he said, I don't believe in ghosts, so he bought it cheap anyway. Thought it was a great bargain. And the first night in the house, he was sleeping downstairs, just in the sleeping bag, no furniture yet. And the first night, in the middle of the night, probably about midnight, he was woken up with a sound. Rap, 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 rap. And he got up, first of all, he thought he was imagining it. But he heard it again. Rap, rap. So he got out of bed. He turned on the lights. Checked all the windows. Checked the doors. There was no wind. No scientific explanation for that sound. So he thought, I must have been dreaming. So he went back to bed. And as soon as he lay down, he heard it again. Rap, rap. It was coming from upstairs. So he went up to the second story. Turned on the lights. Looked all around. He couldn't find any reason for that noise. So again, he thought, just imagination playing tricks. He was just about to go downstairs. Rap, rap! He was coming from the top story. So he climbed the stairs, and even though people say they don't believe in ghosts, when you hear something like that, your legs begin to wobble. Your knees become weak, because even though you don't believe it, you hear it. The supernatural. They went to the top story, looked everywhere, could find no open windows, no mice, it was perfectly clean, he couldn't understand where this noise was coming from. And then, he heard it loudest of all, coming from the attic. Rap, rap. Now the attics are spooky places. If I were you, I would never go in an attic in an old house in London. You never know what you might find there. But it was too late now. He had to find out what was making this noise. So he got a ladder. He went up into the attic, and it was full of all sorts of rubbish. He had a flashlight. He moved it. He couldn't see any reason where this noise came from. And he was just about to go down again when he heard it, loudest of all, right behind him. And he turned around the flashlight, and he saw it. He saw it. It was an old piece of wrapping paper. Wrapping paper goes
back. That's a good joke for Halloween. Should have told it last week. What do you expect? Come on, you know me.
Anyway, here we go. Question from the mind. If I'm watching the mind, who is doing the watching? You are. The mind is watching you doing the watching. The mind, which is doing the watching of the mind, doing the watching. Don't go to... You say, what is actually watching the mind? Your mind actually just watched the mind a few moments ago. That's what actually happens. So you don't actually see anything really straight in this moment. Even when you look at the moon, it's about, what was it, 30 seconds ago. The sun is about 8 minutes ago. And even when you look at me, that's a few milliseconds ago. It takes time for the light to reach you and for the whole thing to work through your brain. So when you watch anything, when you observe anything, you observe something which just happened a few seconds ago. So the mind observes the mind which happened a few moments ago. So when people philosophize, they say, you know, I know that I know. You don't know that you know that you knew. It goes back a little bit. And that's why this whole process of knowing works. So if I'm watching the mind, who is doing the watching? And also, if you've got a monk who's got very powerful meditation, who knows, it may be me watching your mind. Sometimes monks can get into your mind and find out. But don't be worried, because I told people that, yeah, I am a very well-known meditating monk, but, you know, once you've read one person's mind, you never want to read any minds ever again. Your minds, quite honestly, are not worth reading. It's pulp fiction. It's terrible stuff. So you don't want to read anybody's mind. So anyway, who watching the mind? Who is doing the watching?
It is just this mind is washing itself. Well, it might just watch what happened a few months ago. Does that make sense? Okay. Number two. These are easy questions. Why can't you answer these ones? Could you please talk about being on the spiritual path? Exactly. Being on the spiritual path, not doing the spiritual path. You know, there's lots of people. They want to do the spiritual path. And they want to have all these attainments. And they want to show off to other people. Who can meditate the longest? So sometimes we can have like, not like telethons, meditation-a-thons. Like meditation Olympics. So yeah, everyone's sitting down. And the one who wins is the one who meditates the longest without moving. Would that be fun?
No.
Is that spiritual?
No.
Exactly. What about we have see who can levitate the most, the highest? Would that be spiritual?
No.
No. Who can walk on water the furthest? Would that...
We're on thin ice here.
very thin ice, okay. Now, a lot of times that's what sometimes people think is being on the spiritual path. Who is the most enlightened? I'm more enlightened than you are, na 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 na. I've been on more retreats than you have. I know the Dalai Lama. I know God. I am in constant communication with God. All that sort of stuff. It's just really rubbish. That's not being on the spiritual path. Being on the spiritual path. How do we know someone's really on the spiritual path? It's actually when you're at peace with yourself. When you're at peace with yourself, you don't need to show off. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. You're just happy with yourself and happy with others. Just like when I go on my retreats. Usually for every range retreat, you know, it's, we call it a rest period for 3 months. We call it a rest period because the rest of the monks have a nice time and I have to teach them. The rest of the monks have a retreat, but I always have 15 days by myself. When I go into my cave, I have a cave where I live. It's actually not a cave, Rachel. It's a tourist attraction.
Yes.
So I live in a tourist attraction. It is true. So even today, I have to wait till people visited it before I can go back and take a rest. Still speaking, it's my cave. Anyway, I live in a cave, so for 15 days I really have peace and quiet. Just by myself. Don't see anybody. Don't talk to anyone for 15 days.
Don't talk.
Absolutely, it's wonderful. Silence at last. So.
That's how you think of all your jokes, isn't it?
They just come to me. But most of them actually come to me. On the internet. People said to me, okay, what's a nice little joke for this? A nice segue. A nun joke? You like nun jokes?
No.
You don't like nun jokes? Okay. What else, another joke?
Jokes. Tell us something.
An adultery joke? No. No. It's a funny one. Okay, here we go. Someone said to me today, This Australian guy told his best mate, he said, you're religious, you know, you're spiritual, you go to church every Sunday. Can you please, after the sermon, can you please keep on talking to the pastor about an hour? You know, because just between you and me, he said, I'm having an affair with his wife. I need a bit of extra time, so just keep him talking afterwards, okay? He said, I can't do that. He said, you're my best mate, you do it. So, you know, his best mate, Bob, he goes to church, and he sort of, after the church, he starts talking with the pastor, trying to sort of, you know, waste a bit of time. But the pastor sees through this, says, you're talking a lot of rubbish. What are you up to, Bob? And because he's a pastor, he has to come clean. He said, oh, look, my mate Jim, he told me to try and waste your time for an extra hour because, you know, he's having an affair with your wife. And he doesn't want you to go home yet. And the pastor says, Bob, putting his hand on his shoulder, I think you need to go home right now. My wife died a year ago.
Oh,
got it. Good. Excellent. That's not a bad one. It's a bit adulterous, but you know, it's not really clean, but it's the best I can do. Yeah, these days. But that is not being on the spiritual path. Being on the spiritual path is like learning how to be at ease with yourself, and at ease with your past, and at ease with your future, and at ease with other people. You're not afraid anymore. Because a lot of times, fear is what stops the spiritual path. Fear of what other people think of you. That's not being on the spiritual path. People can think whatever they want of you. That's not your business. They can be stupid, they can be wise, that's their business. Nothing to do with me. So, I was just telling people, part of being on the spiritual path, we had, because we haven't really been doing much work at monastery for 3 months, no one was checking the workshop. It's all been locked. Until one of the workshop people, they went in there, and then it said, whoever's been in the workshop, they made an announcement to all the monks, please, if you borrow something, they'll put it back and tidy up after you. And all the monks wonder, what are you talking about? No one's been in a workshop. If we ever go, no, we always tidy up afterwards. We realised the reason why it was untidy and why a few things were missing, the burglars had been in. They'd stolen a couple of things from my workshop. Chainsaws. What are you talking like that for? They're welcome to it. Because I told people today they can steal your chainsaws. They can steal your generators. They can steal lots of stuff. But I will never allow anyone to steal my happiness. Now that's, the thief can steal stuff. He's not going to steal my peace and happiness and my kindness. So when you understand that, that's being on a spiritual path. Worrying about chainsaws going missing. The monks are very happy because they don't have to do so much work now. Yeah, we're going to get them some more chainsaws and stuff. So that is being on a spiritual path. You know, you don't get angry and upset at people. Yeah, there's people like that around. Why they want this sort of stuff, I don't know. But anyway, okay, it's done, it's finished. You've no way of catching anybody, so just let it go, for goodness sake. Don't let them steal your happiness. People can say rotten things to you. They can call you an idiot, stupid, crazy, ugly. But there's no need that they can control you by their words. And as I've said here many times, if they call you an idiot, why do you get upset if they call you an idiot? There's only one reason why you get upset if they call you an idiot. Because you believe they may be right. So that's why you get upset. If you know you're not an idiot, they can call you whatever you like. Doesn't matter. Say, I'm sorry, sir, you're wrong. But when you half believe them, that means they control your happiness and they take away, you know, the joy you have in the day. So when people say rotten things to you, bye. When people say rotten things to you, let it go. When they say nice things to you, receive it. That's being on a spiritual path. So here, if there's any complaints when I come here, any complaints, go and tell Rachel. Any compliments, come right up to me. That's being on a spiritual path. Which is actually learning what peace and happiness is all about. Now, being on a spiritual path doesn't mean that you know all the scriptures and you can tell people how wise you are. That is not being on the spiritual path at all. That's being ego. That's why they have something called spiritual materialism. I am more holy than you are. But actually the spiritual path is not being holy. It's not gaining things. Spiritual path is letting go of things. Being more free, not seeing how much you can have, but how little you can have. It goes against the materialist world of always wanting stuff. I don't mean just, you know, houses and jewellery and cars and stuff, because you know what those are like. They end up owning you, with all the mortgage and the rent, and you have a car and you have to clean it up afterwards. That's why. Here's a nice story for you. You will like a nun story. Here's a nun story for you. A nice nun story. I think it's in one of my books.
There was this simple nun a long time ago living in a cave. She hardly had any possessions whatsoever, and she took her little bowl like all the monks have, you see, in Serpentine or in Dhammasara, took a bowl to run on arms round every morning. And after arms round, she would come back and eat the food, and that's all she needed for the day. Such a simple life, when people would come and ask her questions, or they needed just a person to talk to, she would always be there for them, just to be a listener, or maybe give some advice. Always kind and talk about meditation. She's a very good nun. But one day, when she was out on arms round collecting food for the day, a mouse bit a hole in her robe which she kept in the cave. And so she had to patch it with some old cloth. Again. Because monks, if we have a patch, if we have a tear in our robe, here we go, there's my tear. See, I've got a tear in my robe. Where is it? There. See it sewing up. We don't just throw it away and get a new one. Because if you go to the shopping mall, do you ever see a robe shop for monks? No, there's a lingerie section, there is a jacket section, a shirt section, a suit, but they don't have monk sections in the shop, so we can't get a new robe, we just have to sew it up ourselves. So that's what she was doing, sewing up her robe. But after a while, sewing her up, and this mouse was always eating the robe, she thought, why don't I get a cat? Because if I had a cat, that would scare the mouse away, then I wouldn't have to keep patching my robe. So she asked one of her supporters, you know, she'd been kind to them, do you mind if I have a cat? And there's plenty of cats in town, in the village, and probably a nice little cat. So they got a cat. But then in the cave with a cat, you know, the cats don't eat the rice and curries which she got on arms round. The cat wanted milk or fish. So she had to ask people, you know, on the village when she went on arms round, can you get some milk, please, for my cat? Because I need the cat to keep the mouse away. So managed to get a few people getting her some milk every day, because the cat has to have milk every day. Because, you know, monks and nuns, we don't have money. So just had to beg for these things. And then she got a bit fed up having to beg every day for milk from the villagers. So she thought to herself, you know, if I have a cow, I don't need to beg for milk anymore. So she made a collection up, many people, and bought a cow. A cow to provide milk for the cat to keep the mouse away so she didn't need to patch her ropes. And then you can't just have a cow, you have to look after it and have grass for it. So instead of actually asking milk from the people, she actually had to ask grass. But grass was easy to find during the time when it was raining, so she got plenty of grass. But then after a while, you know, it got dry and the grass ran out, and she said, oh crikey, what can I do with my cow? So she had a big offering from all of her disciples to buy a field. A field to supply grass for the cow, to get milk, to feed the cat, to keep the mouse away, so she didn't have to keep patching her ropes. But just having a field, she was always looking after the cow, and so she thought, actually, that, you know, I need a little boy. In those days, actually, the boys would actually do sort of services, and she would teach it. So she asked for the naughtiest boy in the village, so she could actually train it, and that's very easy to find. They're very glad to give it to the man, to look after the cow. To look after the field, to give grass to the cow, to get milk, to feed the cat, to keep the mice away, so she didn't need to patch her ropes. But the temple boy, couldn't live in the cave with a big nun. That's against the rules. And so they had to build a little house outside the cave for the boy to look after the field, to give grass to the cow, to supply milk for the cat, to keep the mouse away, who kept doing the ropes. And so, they built a house. And she, one day, while they're still building the house for the boy to look after the field, in which the cow got the grass to give the milk, to feed the cat, to keep the mice away, to give them home, someone came and asked, they had a problem, and they wanted to have a bit of counselling. She said, I'm so sorry, I'm too busy, I can't really do it right now. I've got to look after the building. So what are you doing the building for? I need the building for the boy to look after the field, to give grass to the cow, to keep the milk, to give to my cat, to actually keep the mice away so I don't have to keep patching the rope. And then she thought, what am I doing? She finally remembered what the spiritual life really was. So, when she went back, she sent the boy home, she sold the cow,
She sold the field as well, gave it away to the people who gave it to her in the first place. Got rid of the cat. And every day she would come back, there was another little hole in her robe, and she would very happily sew it up. Because sewing a little hole in the robe was much better than looking after all this other stuff. So how often is that our life as well? So we buy a vacuum cleaner because we don't like using a pan and brush because it's easier. And then I've seen these ones, these robot vacuum cleaners, so we don't actually have to move it ourselves. And then we have to get an extra job to buy the vacuum cleaner to clean the house, because we're too lazy to actually use a pan and brush. Pay for the cleaning lady to use the vacuum cleaner. This is our life. It always gets more and more complicated, doesn't it? We get a car so we can actually get to work or go wherever we want, and we've got to get a garage for the car, and then we need insurance, and need changing the wheels, and services, and petrol. Well, I can use a bicycle. It's only just round the corner where you go to work. Or you get the bus. But, yeah, go on.
Can we come and live with you?
Hey, look, if you come and live with me, I've got to get a house for you and then food for you. Oh, dear me. But you can see that's where materialism comes from. Mm. It's convenient. So you get some more clothes. I need a bigger wardrobe. In a bigger wardrobe, you need to store the old stuff somewhere, so you get one of these storage containers or storage places you have to pay extra money for. Oh, goodness gracious, it never ends. So the spiritual life is seeing how more simple you can live. You know, simple is actually more free. Incredible thing. You think that, oh, I'll get this because it makes the life more easy, but it actually makes it more complicated. Convenient, but troublesome, as one monk used to say. So the spiritual life is seeing how little you can have and how peaceful you can be. That's why if you ever want to know how I live, come and have a look at my cave. That's why people come and look at it. It's nice and simple. It's easy. I don't have to clean it up. It's so easy. And I don't have to fall out of bed. I just roll out of bed in the morning, literally, on the floor. So that is part of the spiritual life. And sometimes, you know, we've lost that in our religions, you know, huge churches, big mausoleums, really expensive popes living in, the present one's not so bad, in pope mobiles and stuff. So private jets, all the rest of the stuff you need. That's not the spiritual life anymore. Spiritual life is learning how to be simple, peaceful and kind. How much do you need? The only house you ever really need, the house you're going to spend most of the time in, is 6 foot long, about 2 foot wide, a foot and a half deep. That's the place you're going to spend most of your life in. Years and years and years and years if you get buried. But if you get sort of cremated, it's not so long. I've done lots and lots of funerals. Why do people actually have all these expensive coffins? Why is the money? As for me, I told people, when I die, I want to go in the yellow recycling bin. Once a week, it takes away. Then that is environmentally
friendly,
yeah. They take it away, they put it in with any other sort of rotting stuff, and they just rot there away, and you go back to the soil again. That's beautiful. It doesn't cost any money either. A little black plastic bag, put me in there, and just off you go. So anyway, I don't know if I said what is on the spiritual path, but it's on some sort of path. Yeah, that's very good. So any questions about that? Do you want one last ghost story?
No. One last joke.
Okay.
Doesn't scare anybody.
What's a nice joke which you haven't told for a long time?
We haven't been for 3 months to
anything. Okay, a very simple one-liner joke. Two ducks. two ducks were swimming in a pond, because now actually we've got little ducks and ducklings in our ponds now.
Cute.
Yeah, really cute. Little seven little ducklings swimming around, very nice. Yeah. So two ducks swimming in a pond, and one duck turns to the other and says, quack, quack. And the other duck says, damn it, I was going to say that. Okay, come on. Grown.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Okay, come on. That's my duck joke.